a story to mind. I was just ran across it, and I said, you know what? This is so awesome. Let's just talk about it. Talk about it like friends. And then, my word, every single song we did this morning, I could just preach and go back over what we sang. We don't even hardly need to do anything else. Seriously. It was so great. And then there was a word from Paul, and it was right on the money. Every single word was, you know, to my heart. And I'm Dana Berry. Husband's Larry Berry. We've gone through many trials and tribulations with that name, but we've made it through them all. We started coming to Victory when I was 23 or 24, and we had 6 children, all of them raised in this church, and we were here for 20 or 25 years, somewhere around there. I taught Paul in Sunday school, everybody that's grown and old and got their own kids now, I taught in Sunday school, gee whiz, lots of stories, lots of memories. I'm a terrible crier, and it's all Brother Fred's fault, because I never cried. I never shed a tear. And so he was standing right here, and I was sitting right there, and he said, okay, Dana, that day's over with. You're going to come up here, and we're going to pray, and the Lord's going to release you. And I have cried it's just ridiculous. My children take bets to see how long it's going to take me to start squalling. And I blame Brother Fred completely, you know. This is really just a hello message, It's my heart and what I believe and what I know y'all believe and how good and faithful God is. And how you can trust him for every single thing. No matter how bad it looks, no matter what situation. Man, the tidal wave is coming. The hurricane is going to hit. It's doom, gloom, and destruction. But we serve a God who is our shield, our fortress, our deliverer. He's everything we will have ever needed, everything we will ever need. Go to, let me see here. Oh, and this is chapter 2 of my book. This is not what we want. Hold on. Yes. Okay, there we go. That's much better. I wish I could put this up on here, but then you would just have to read my message and I wouldn't have to say anything. I've got my cough drop up here. We almost asphyxiated ourselves last weekend, or weekend before. Hold on a minute. You don't want to hear me blow my nose. Sorry. It's only going to get worse. I'm sorry. I love you, Paul. You just have no idea what a blessing you are to me. Oh, and every time I hear him preach, he's better and better and better. And, you know, you're your own man. Sorry, started. Love you, Paul. Love you, Rachel. Oh, my goodness. First time Rachel ever got up to sing. Every single word out of her mouth was, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. I will not sing into the mic. I'm not even going to use a mic. You know, and I just love you. And Ron, just want to come back there and give you a hug. Love you, brother. Love you. Okay, let's go to 2 Chronicles 2013. Who knew that such a message of hope could come out of 2 Chronicles? King Jehoshaphat, chapter 20. That was verse 13. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We'll start at the very beginning. And I'm just going to tell you the story, tell you what happened. King Jehoshaphat was a pretty good king as far as kings of Israel and Judah go. And he pretty much tried to do what was right. You know, he had his ups and downs, but he was still a pretty good king all in all. Well, Judah and Israel, they were sitting there and they were all doing pretty well. And so the Ammonites and the Moabites and all the Ites decided that they wanted what, they wanted what they had. So they all came together and they were going to come up against Judah and take everything they had. So King Jehoshaphat, he called everybody together. And he sort of threw the word back up to the Lord and said, Hey now, Lord, you see them coming. You know what's going to happen if you don't do something, because we're just little us. It's just little me. You know, I can't go up against them. We can't fight them. If you don't do something, we're all going to die. And we only did what you told us to do. You told us not to wipe them out. Back in the day, you said let them go because they helped out the Israelites when they were crossing the Red Sea or wandering in the desert. And now look what's happened. Because of what you told us to do, here they are. They're coming back after us. And it's not a pretty picture. So he called a fast in all of the country. Can you imagine President Obama going on the TV and saying, hey, things are not looking too good in Russia or China, and so everybody's going fast. It wouldn't happen. So they all get together and they fast, and let me read to you exactly. I really like it. Let's see. Oh Lord, this is six. Oh Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And he goes on and on. He's telling them all this. You're a sanctuary. Your name saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Now, he's reminding God all this. He didn't just sit back and say, well, let's wait and see what the Lord does. He's talking to God the Father, and he's reminded him of all these great and precious promises. And he said, and so we're standing here before this temple because this is where your name is. Now, for the Israelites, the name of Yahweh was so holy that they would not say it. They would not write it. They would write just the consonants and leave out the vowels. Just because, what if somebody accidentally dropped what the Lord's name was written on or defamed it in any way? So they wouldn't even write it. And so he's saying, holy God, here we are in front of your temple. Where is the temple now? Where is the name of Jesus now? We've got more than they ever had. You will hear and you will save. So he calls them all together and the whole country is here. I can't even imagine how many people are there. And this guy, my tablet keeps blacking out on me. Let's see. What's his name? Jahaziel, in verse 14, he gets a word from the Lord. And I want to tell you and talk to you about Jahaziel. Jahaziel's name means beheld of God or whom God watches over. I want that name. Y'all can just call me Jahaziel. That's the Arkansas pronunciation. Jahaziel. I love that. Whom God watches over. You can't beat that with a stick. What a promise. Just his name is a promise. Well, Jahaziel was a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Do you remember who the sons of Asaph were? Yes. Yes, a lot of the Psalms were written by the sons of Asaph. And Asaph was David's choir director. And so it's sort of like a training camp. It was a guild. And the people who wanted to be worship leaders and the Levites, and then they drew them out of that section, and they were trained to be worshipers. They were trained to offer up all the music in the temple. So if that's what he was. He was a singer. And let's see. He wrote, the sons of Asaph wrote Psalms 50 and 78 through 83. So to the church musicians today, Rachel, you could say, you're a son of Asaph. Both the sons of Asaph. Pretty good, huh? Yeah, I like that. You make a plaque. I want one. And in verse 15, Jehaziel says, he tells the people, don't be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. They got three armies out there coming. Three armies, not one. Three armies are on their way to take everything they've got. He said, but don't be afraid because of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, but God's. So I can see now, you got how many thousand people standing around the temple, and they're all whispering back and telling them what they said, and the guy in the back says, what do you mean it's not our battle? What? What? That's what he said. You know, don't be afraid. We're not going to have to fight. Okay, you know, can you imagine? But that's what he said. And how many times has the Lord fought your battle before you even asked him? Amen. And the Lord steps in and takes care of something, and here you worried about it for 3 days. And the Lord, you might say, why, you know, I'm not Jehaziel. I'm not a son of Asaph. I'm not David. I'm not King Jehoshaphat. Why would God do that for me? What have you got that none of them had? What have you got that none of them had? You're not even, they're not even touch what you've got. You've got the blood of Jesus that covers you. You got the blood of Jesus that covers you. You got a torn veil that admits you to the Holy of Holies. You're a joint heir with Christ. And you know, we hear that in religious circles. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a joint heir with Christ. And we say it so much, you don't even recognize or think about what it means. What if I came in today and I told you, who's somebody really rich? Let's go with Donald Trump. Everybody knows him right now. And I come in and say, oh yeah, I'm his long lost sister. I'm heir to that fortune. Boy, you'd sit up and take notice then, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. My father is a billionaire. My father makes Donald Trump look like the toenail clipping. I'm not going to shut up. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm not going to be negative. He's nothing. My God can do anything. If I've sat out, you know, I've worked in a prison for years, and before that, I worked with juveniles. I'm a teacher, and there have been many a time I sat out in that car in front of that prison, thinking, Lord, I don't know if I can go back in. I don't know if I can do one more day. But there's his strength. There's, you know, there he is. My father, who can move mountains for me and does. Little things. In the prison system in Ohio, you know, it's all by, they don't hire the person who's qualified. They hire from inside. So everybody comes in, and they start out as corrections officers, and then they pay for them to go to school, and they're all hired from inside that way. They dealing with professionals on outside, or that all from the prison system. I assure you, 95% of COs are no better than the inmates. They just haven't got caught yet, and most of them do get caught. That's what it is. From all the way to the highest personnel in Ohio, that's over the whole state, all of them were COs. I don't even remember where I was going with this. Anyway, in the business office, just to go to the business office, it was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. Please, Lord, let me get in there, get out. Don't let anybody yell at me, just to go to the business office. So I was marching myself down there, really dreading it, and I said, Lord, I need you to go before me and do something because I just can't handle it today. I go down there, and the guy who is usually the ugliest, meanest, sorry, no good guy in the whole place, he's the one I got to go to, and he says, well, hi, Miss Barry. How are you today? I'm going, how can I help you? And I'm going, Lord, you are a miracle working God. It was awesome. But so that's what the Lord wants us to do. If we call on him, let's give him the opportunity to fight the battle. I didn't have to go down there and use my teacher voice and tell him what he was going to do or anything like that. The Lord did it. All right, where were we? Oh, now, come on. It's on power save. Okay. Life can be a battle every day. I had to go down to the business office in a prison. That's a battle. Lots of things are, we have all these little battles. And the Lord gave us those weapons. And you know what they are. Y'all tell me, what are they? What's a warrior's weapons when you go into battle? Okay. Yes, I have the sword of the Spirit. I have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, my feet shod with preparation and peace. I've got all that. And these people, I think they had some. I know Jehoshaphat had it. What did he do? When he heard Ahaziel, the word from Ahaziel, he fell down on his face. The king fell down on his face, and everybody else fell down on their face. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you and bless you for what you're going to do. And then they said, the Lord told them, and this is how you're going to fight. We're going to fight the battle. He says, we're going to divide all up. And this side, y'all are going to be the praisers. And this side is going to be the singers. And he says, hold on. Let me see what he said. I think I jumped ahead of myself. Let me read it. Let me go to verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites of the children of Kohathites, or these are from the Korahites. Who were the sons of Korah? Come on, y'all know, sons of Korah. What else did they do? They wrote Psalms too. They were in on it too. These are praisers and worshipers. That's what all these people were. They stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with voices loud and high. With voices loud and high. They got three armies at their door. They just got a word saying they're not going to have to fight the battle. You're going to have to walk in faith if you're not going to fight the battle. Your faith better be operating here. And what do? They sing with voices loud and high. Man, I just rejoiced when I heard it, when I read it. Yeah. How many times? I can't even tell you the times I've had to lead worship. I was worship leader here and at my other church, at Emmanuel, for all those years. And I come to church, feel horrible. Terrible week, struggling. Okay, Lord, hallelujah, we can do this. And the second it starts, man, I'm good. Over and over again, the Lord does that and proves himself in ways over and over again. And so they sang loud and high, and I know the Spirit moved. I know. And there was things going on. That guy in the back, who just heard the very last thing, and everybody starts singing, and he starts singing too. Well, he knows, yeah, God can do this. We're all going to be okay. And by the way, those sons of Korah, they joined David at Ziklag. You remember Ziklag? They joined David at Ziklag. They were warriors. Man, they weren't just singers and everything else. They were warriors in the natural too, with the bow. With the bow and the spear. Hello, warrior. Are you a praiser? Hello, warrior. Hello, son and daughter of Korah. Oh, yeah. Hello, psalm writer. That last song, and James wrote that song? Oh, I thought he wrote that. Who wrote that? Oh, no. Wasn't that one? He didn't write that one? Well... Oh, well, it was awesome. It's a good song. That's fighting a battle. When you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you're worried about your kid or you're worried about the bills or you're worried, and you say, you know what, Lord? Let's fight this battle. And you start singing one of these songs. Man, you just drew your sword. You know, this little Bible. I'm going to cry. I bet I've kissed it 1,000 times. Jesus was the Word made flesh. Here's my sword. And when I put voice to it and I sing those words, I got a lot of favorite songs. I figure I got about 300. And I sing one of those and the Lord is fighting the battle for me. Wow. The Lord is fighting for me. How did they fight? Verse 20, he told them, believe in the Lord your God. He's telling that guy in the back again, hey, you better be believing. Believe in the Lord your God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And, you know, in the natural... Something big and hard is coming up, and the world is saying, well, you need to get a lawyer, or how much money you got in the bank, or, you know, well, if when they cut off your lights, you know, maybe we can help you out, that kind of thing. But they said, have faith. Well, you know what? I'm believing I'm not going to get my electricity cut off. I'm believing my provider is going to provide for me. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the Lord says no. Yeah. Yeah. And I saw, and there's this, it was this little sign, and all it said was, sometimes you just have to learn to dance in the rain. And I think of that, and I, ever since that little sign, I said, Lord, help me be a rain dancer. Let me praise you no matter what it looks like. Let me walk with that smile on my face when I'm crying on the inside. Lord, let me be that light. So the first, how did they fight? Verse 20, they believed. Verse 21, they appointed worshipers. Hallelujah. And who worshiped? Everybody. They all did. The little ones, their children, aunts, uncles, men, women, everybody worshiped the Lord. And next, they got their, and they had their own army. You know, Judah had an army. And they've been trained, they've been equipped. They got their own armor. They got real swords and helmets. They got all this going on. And instead, they clean out the elementary school, you know, the old. They got everybody says, okay, y'all are going first. It's going to be y'all. And what we want you to do, you're going to march. Army, y'all wait back there. You're going to march, and I want y'all to sing really loud. Oh, man. I wonder how many people have rushed up to volunteer. He says, and I don't want you to just sing anything. I got specific things I want you to sing. He says, you over here, I want y'all to say, hallelujah. Well, Hebrew, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's all it is, praise the Lord. So y'all are going walking, marching, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's what they did. Then the other ones, y'all over here, y'all are going to be saying, for his mercy endures forever. How often are his mercies new? Every morning. Every morning. Did you mess up today? Well, his mercies are new every day. The Lord showed you mercy yesterday. Well, that's good because he's got new mercy today, tomorrow. I'm good to go. I'm good to go because of that mercy that's new to me every day. And so they're reminding the Lord of his great mercy. Then verse 22. So here they go. All these old people, all these children, everybody that's not one of those big mighty warriors, the ones who have no might, the ones who have no power, the ones who have no physical hope of standing against those three armies. All the ones that have that are in the back. All I need is to know that that I can't do it in my strength. It has to be God. So here they go, and they're marching. Hallelujah, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah, for his mercy endures forever. Got it. And they get up there, and they get up to the top of the hill, and they look down into the valley. It's a bunch of dead soldiers. Three armies worth. The Ammonites killed the Moabites. The Moabites killed the ones from Seir. And the ones from Seir, the Ammonites. The man left. So, they, you know, like, hallelujah. Man, they're really saying hallelujah now. And the army, the big army comes up and says, I can't believe this. So they go down and they start checking bodies. You know what the Lord had done? The Lord knew all this was going to happen before those soldiers, those armies ever left. So we got one soldier, Moabite, and he's about to leave. He's got all his army stuff on, and the Lord says, hey, you know what? Big gold chain you got, it's going to look really good with that armor. You need to go back and get that. They were loaded down with jewels and treasure. It took the Israelites 3 days to collect it all. There was so much. The Lord just didn't defeat their enemies. They came out smelling like roses. So the fourth day, they had a big party, big celebration. And they renamed the valley. Oh, come on. They renamed the valley Baraka. The Valley of Baraka. You know what that means? Blessing. The Valley of Blessing. Do you want to dwell in the Valley of Blessing? Yes. I mean, you can go, aren't you? Yeah. The Lord, Jesus said, we're going to have tribulation. That's a given. It didn't say you were going to walk through with nothing. There's going to be tribulation, but how you walk through it, and how you end up in the valley of blessing is up to you. That's your choice. It's your, bless how May was when she was little. you're a praiser. If you're a worshiper, if you're a truster, if you're a believer, if you're somebody, all right, I may look like an idiot, but I'm going to sing my way through this. I'm going to trust God through this. God knows what you need. Your Father knows how to bless you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. He loves you more than your mother loves you. He loves you more, 100,000 times more than your mother loves you. You are his child. In Psalms 103, I suggest you memorize this, the first part of Psalm 103. I suggest that you say it or sing it to the Lord every day. And I'm going to cry all the way through it, but such is life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases, who rebukes the devourer for my sake, who crowns me with loving kindnesses and tender mercies, who fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed as the eagle's. And it's filled your mouth is not just food. It's not just prosperity, which is part of that. But it fills your mouth with the words that he's given you. The Jesus words. His word made flesh. Right here. Every day. Every day. So maybe you know me a little better now. And I'm a crybaby. Sorry about that. I hate that, but I love the Lord. And hopefully, you know, y'all get to know me. I get to know you. And I love you too. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you too.
God has blessed us with so many wonderful...